And so the cross is an icon that really, when you see it, I think most of us think Christianity. It's an icon, it's a symbol, that's an identity. We see a cross within Christianity. So we're in a series here of the cross. Today we're talking about the way of the cross. Next week is the why of the cross. Why the cross? Why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Palm Sunday is the work of the cross. And on Easter Sunday, we'll call it the wonder of the cross. And so today is the why of the cross. We're going to start in Scripture right away. I'm going to post some things up here. I'm going to have you turn to them. The very top one you don't have. And by the way, Nick is doing a fantastic job. If you recall, last week we didn't have a projector. We had that bulb blow. So you see a new projector, just for your own information. New bulbs in these projectors cost $300. And our projector is about 7 years old. And so Nate Kazix went online Sunday and was looking at where he could order the best priced bulb, and found that we could get a projector that's 1.5 to 2 times brighter, clear. And you notice that it is more clear, even with these lights on. Usually we have to dim everything. It's a sharper for an extra $189 than what a new bulb would cost. So we said, let's get the projector. So we did that. We're going to use that other projector as a backup. So we got a knockoff bulb for $89 that all the reviews says works great, but then 6 months later they say it's terrible. So the knockoff bulb doesn't have a whole lot of hours. You know, these usually last about 1,000 to 2,000 hours, something like that. Anyhow, that's a little aside. But Nick's here, brand new projector, couple video clips, PowerPoint. Didn't have batteries, but I think you got batteries now. Came up. He's doing a great job back there. I just appreciate our song guys so much. We're going to walk through these scriptures. Even though we got them posted, we're going to kind of look at some passages on either side and ask ourselves, what is Jesus meaning here when he talks about take up your cross? So turn with me to Matthew. And the very top one that we can't read is Matthew chapter 10. So these are all in the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, first four books in the New Testament. These three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels. They have a lot of shared information, and so you see some duplication, and even here in these passages, they're almost identical. John is a Gospel, but it's not included in the Synoptics. It's got a lot of different information, not conflicting, but it has some events and stories that these three don't have. So Matthew 10, and we're going to actually start reading at verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his mother or father more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Finally, verse 39, whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses a life for my sake will find it. Let's move forward to Matthew 16. You can keep your fingers or a page in these verses here. We're going to go back to them. I will still have them on here, but I want us to look at the either side of these verses to get a better context of what Jesus is talking about. So 16, and we're going to start with 24 and read up to 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's go to the next one, Mark. Matthew, Mark 8. I'm going to start reading at verse 34, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. Then he called a crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses a life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. I'm going to read that again. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Let's move forward to Luke. Luke chapter 9. We're going to start reading at verse 23 and read through verse 26. Peter's confessing Christ. It's a good moment of Peter. He's affirming of who he is. And verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Finally, Luke 14. We're going to start reading here, verse 25 through 27. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his children and his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. He talks about counting the cost. Some of the things we didn't read here was this aspect of some of you here will not die until you see the kingdom of God or the glory of God. And I think it refers to the transfiguration that we read about in the passage of Mark. Let's stop here and let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate these words in our lives. Thank you for the cross, Lord. And we want to learn some things about the cross and the way and what it means to carry our cross. So, Holy Spirit, guide us. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. When Jesus is sharing these words, he hasn't gone to the cross yet. So his crucifixion is not in their minds. In fact, Peter's talking Jesus down. Jesus is saying, I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be arrested and beaten, and I will be going to the cross. And Peter says, never, Lord. It's not going to happen. So when he tells them about the cross, they're not thinking crucifixion. They're not thinking Jesus on the cross. It hasn't happened yet. So what are they thinking? They're thinking capital punishment. Every society needs some type of boundaries and rules, and with boundaries and rules then comes rewards and punishment. So in yesterday's paper, and I think any paper you can pick up and find some terrible things, because terrible things sells and good news doesn't. And we have a fixation with bad news, I think. So we got this charges, woman killed with a hammer. This was that body that was discovered in a impound lot. It had been there a couple days, and they wondered. They discovered, well, there's a body in the back. And so they found this guy from Georgia that's come up, and he's got two or three other charges on him of brutality and abuse. And this woman here was a prostitute, lived at home. Her family didn't know the whole story, what's going on with her life. But even though she's a prostitute, we say there's something horrible about a man killing a woman, and especially in such a brutal way. So we got two killed at an illegal after-hours Minneapolis club. This other one, this man charged with killing this lady, that was in Woodbury, a pretty nice neighborhood overall. Here in Minneapolis, this kind of illegal club, two were killed there by guns. And of course, any gun accident hits the news big time because of all the reforms they want to have happen. Next one is, sorry is not enough, says man who killed wife. This is the guy that dismembered his wife. So I think she was going to leave him. Kills her in front of their 18-month-old child. Goes to the grocery store, buys equipment to cut her up and put her in a bag and then put her in a friend's garage. And our society cries out, justice. There's got to be some punishment for these people that do such horrible things. And some of our punishment and some of our rules go all the way back to the Old Testament. Well, the Old Testament had some boundaries about stealing and lying and rape and murder. And it was, you know, the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And so you had things of, you know, and Islam carries out some of these today. You know, if a guy's stealing, they'll cut his hand off. And so then forward to Jesus' time. The Jews had a lot of the Old Testament system still in place, that if there was something stolen, there was restitution plus, help me out, Bible scholars, 5% or a third. It was you pay it back plus. So whether it was 20% or a third. So if they stole his sheep, you got the sheep back plus. If they stole the $100, you get the $100 back plus restitution. If someone was caught in adultery, we know from the stories in the gospel what happens. Stoning. They tried to trap Jesus. She's caught in adultery. What does the Mosaic law say? She's supposed to be stoned. And he says, okay, those of you without sin, go ahead and throw that first stone. And they knew that they were in trouble because they knew they weren't perfect. So at the time that Jesus is talking about taking up the cross, Romans ruled the land. There was the Roman rule that was going on. They call it this the Pax Romana, Roman peace. So in 63 BC, about a generation before Jesus was born, Rome had defeated the Jews. They had about 100-year independence from what's called the Seleucid dynasty of Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a bad guy. And so the Maccabees rebelled. They had about 100 years of independence. But then Rome came in and took over. And so then now at the time of Jesus, you have the Roman peace. So you had Herod the Great that was ruling while Jesus was born. And close to the time of the crucifixion, you got what? A governor, Pontius Pilate, that's kind of in charge of that area. Pax Romana, Roman peace, meant that Roman granted favor status to the Jews. The Jews didn't have to worship the Roman pagan gods or sacrifice to them. They could have their own worship. And in fact, Judaism was claimed as the official religion of Jerusalem. Their taxes were reduced. The city walls were rebuilt after that whole war that happened in 63 B.C. And so this was the context that Jesus lived in that he's talking about. But they had some punishment for, you know, their boundaries of things that went back. They had a punishment for parricide. What's parricide? I didn't know what it was. I'm reading about this. I'm thinking, well, I know suicide and infanticide. Well, parricide is if you kill your parent. So if you killed your parent, get this. This was Roman punishment. You were bundled up in a sack and then submerged in water until you drowned. Not only that, I mean, Romans had this deal that we got to make it so bad that people will never do this. So it's not just bundling up in a sack and putting them in water until they drowned. They bundled them up with four animals: a dog, an ape, a viper, and a rooster. And I think the thinking, I didn't read it, but first of all, how they bundled these animals with these guys without getting hurt themselves is kind of an amazing thing. But I think that, you know, that the skirmish that's happening in the sack, and then as it's submerged in water, you know, it's fight or flight. It's survival. You know, the viper is just getting there, and the ape is probably chomping on him, and I don't know what the rooster's doing, maybe pecking and flapping, and the dog is just... And it's this whole affair of, you don't kill your parents, or this is going to happen to you. A really bad deal. They had this boiling to death. And they'd have records of this, you know, so-and-so did this, and was boiled to death, and it took 2 hours for them to die being boiled to death. And I imagine they must have this big cauldron and this fire going and bubbling. And so they had those records. And again, it's this aspect of, here's a crime you don't want to commit or we'll boil you to death. They had a punishment called pressing. It was done to somebody that, I don't know if they didn't have a clear guilty verdict or enough evidence. So they needed a testifying from them. So they placed weights on the chest of the guilty person. They must have been bound, you know, and flat. And so they had this crushing weight on them until they would confess of their crime. And the first day it said that they gave them bread. And the second day, they gave them bad water, and so on, until they either died or they confessed. So pressing. Then there was crucifixion. There was the cross. And this was the most excruciating and humiliating form of punishment, capital punishment. So they had the main stake. And they've got a more technical word for it. But the main stake typically stayed right in the ground. It was there anchored. And the cross beam then was either like this or went on the very top like a T. And the guilty was roped to it or nailed to it. And we know Jesus was nailed to the cross. And they carried the cross member on their shoulders to the gallows. And so when he's talking about carrying, this is what they're thinking about. This is what is in their mind. Some were hung upside down. We got our children upstairs, so this is kind of an R-rated. Some of them were impaled in their private parts, and I think that probably had to do with their crime, maybe rape. Some sodomy thing. Others were hung in a gibbet. And again, I thought, what's a gibbet? I know, like, giblets are part of a chicken. What's a gibbet? Well, a gibbet was kind of this iron, maybe like an Iron Maiden, or this iron, there was bands all around on almost like a form, and they were crucified or hung. And the gibbet was there that after they were dead, that the flesh just didn't rot. And they wanted this as a public display for weeks and as long as they could. So a gibbet helped keep kind of the flesh from just falling off, or the birds from pecking it off or such. And so it was in a public place. Maybe the market, so some visitor comes in, and it's like, ugh, the smell and the appearance. And they say, what happened to that guy? Well, this is what he did. And it's a message saying, you never want to do this crime or this will happen to you. And that's, crucifixion was this, you know, the most horrendous. Now, the Jews couldn't do it. They had to have Rome do this. So that's the whole appeal to Pilate to get Jesus killed on the cross. But again, when they're reading this, when they're hearing this, I mean, they're not thinking Jesus on the cross. But they're very aware, ooh, cross, guilty, humiliation, excruciating pain, death. This is what's going through their mind when Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross. And it says, take up their cross. There's something personal about it. So what does this mean? I'm going to tell you, first of all, what it does not mean. Well, let's go back. We go look at these. What is the same on each of these? What are you seeing that is the same? Deny others.
Follow me.
There's follow. Deny. Follow me. Follow me. Deny. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. What else? The what?
Daily.
That's only in one of them. So that's a difference. So what else is different or the same? Daily is a different. Follow me, deny is a similar theme.
Disciple.
Disciple is right there. Disciple in... Yeah. Whoever wants to be. And then some says, if you don't, you cannot be. Disciple... cannot be. Here it says, not worthy of me. That says it a little differently. Okay, so now I want to go to this next one. I've kind of underlined, not worthy of me, cannot be my disciples. These are some things that are different. Not worthy of me, cannot be. That is the same theme, and I grouped them. I kind of, these two here, are kind of the closest, and no, excuse me, these three. And then these two here kind of broaden it out a little bit. Look at this one. He says to them all, up here, he's talking to, he said to his disciples. Here he called the crowd and his disciples, he said to them all. So there's this group. The disciples for sure are included, but there's this group that he's been teaching that are around there, that are watching the miracles. So he's telling them all. It's not just whoever wants to be the disciples. Well, he's just talking to 12. It's them. So we can apply it to us. Cannot be my disciple. Okay. Daily. That's the one that you'd said there, Betty. Daily. Not just like a one-time event. Take up your cross, but this is something of an everyday thing. All right. So, here's what this does not mean. This was from a report in South Korea, 2011. Man found nailed to a cross in Easter crucifixion. Man found dead on a crucifix, a crown of thorns on his head, was known to have fanatical religious views. He was found dead on a crucifix, crown of thorns on his head. An apparent emulation, which means a modeling, a copying of Jesus Christ. He was found in an abandoned stone quarry in South Korea, according to reports. 58-year-old taxi driver, identified by police as Kim, had his hands and feet nailed to a wooden cross, a wound on his side of his in the side of his torso, the Korean Herald reports. He was wearing only underwear. Two smaller crosses were erected on either side of the cross he was nailed to, the Associated Press reports. Tools, a plan for the cross, and instructions on how to hang himself on it were found in a tent nearby where Kim apparently had been living. A whip was also found, which appears to have been used to lash his body. Police are waiting for a forensic report to determine the exact time and cause of the man's death and whether it was a homicide or a suicide. I never followed up on it. This is 2011. Never followed up to see, you know, really what it was. Kim was known to have fanatical religious views, the Korean Herald reported. Police noted that the death occurred around Easter and were investigating whether anyone had assisted him in killing himself. I imagine that, I mean, you can't really hang yourself on the cross. I mean, you could maybe, if you could, nail your feet and nail one hand, and I don't know, just put the hammer in your mouth or something. You'd have to have probably some help. That's not what Jesus is meaning here. It's not what Jesus means. I'm going to read one more, because as we approach Easter, you read about these in the newspapers and magazines, and it's kind of remarkable. South America seems to be big. Mexico is big. This one's the Philippines. Catholics in the Philippines nailed to crosses. This is 2010. Catholic devotees in the Philippines have been nailed to crosses in Easter crucifixions, recreating the Passion of Christ for Good Friday. While the ritual is frowned upon by church authorities, the voluntary crucifixions in villages north of the capital of Manila are one of the most extreme displays of religious devotion in Asia's largest Roman Catholic state. So you maybe heard of this, saw it. So you have, you've got some tourists kind of following along, and you have penitents, penitents, sinner, whipped their backs and chanted prayers as dozens of them mixed faith with gory rituals to mark the church's calendar's most somber day at Easter. Monsignor, or do you say a mons? How do you say Monsignor? They're the spokesmen of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of the Philippines, said the church discourages such rituals because the penitents were expecting rewards for hurting themselves. This is not what it means. We only encourage the faithful to fast, to pray, to confess their sins, he told the Reuters news agency. We can't stop the practice. It is not necessary. I mean, the practice is not necessary. But the church has no police power. These rituals challenge us to guide our flocks on the true teachings of the Catholic Church. After walking barefoot for in a small village of Situd, I don't know if that's the correct, 50 miles north of Manila, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was reenacted in a colorful street play with dozens of men carrying wooden crosses as heavy as 110 pounds and scores whipping their backs to a bloody pulp. After walking barefoot for almost a mile around the village in scorching heat, the drama ended at a man-made hill where 11 men were nailed to crosses with 3-inch nails driven into their hands and feet. The crowd cheered as John Mitchell, 33, had nails driven into his hands and feet. Minutes later, he gave a broad smile of relief as the nails were pulled out. Yes, I would be smiling broadly after the nails were pulled out. I'm not doing this for fame or money, said Ruman Inanje, 48, who's played the role of Jesus Christ at Situd since 1986. This is a 2010 report, so he's been doing this for 24 years. Wow. knows his part well. This is my own way of thanking the Lord. He has showered my family with so many blessings and has saved my life many times. This is not what he's talking about. In Angers, a house painter said he made a decision to have himself crucified after escaping death after a fall from a three-story building. I believe God was using me as an instrument to show the world of the Filipinos' devotion to God, he said, showing his bandaged hands at a medical station after the crucifixion. I will never get tired of doing this every year, and this is my personal devotion, and I will continue this until the Lord allows my body does, until I will continue this until the Lord allows my body to endure the pain. In a neighboring province of Bulacan, five people were nailed to wooden cross, including an 18-year-old woman and an Australian who said he was hoping his sacrifice would cure his cancer-stricken mother. About 20 crucifixions were held in four other parts of the country. This is a big deal. Thousands, many of them curious tourists from Australia, Europe, and South Korea, watched the spectacle in Ciudad, which has grown from a village novelty starting in 1955 to a median tourist attraction copied in other parts of the country. The atmosphere was festive with hawkers selling bottled water, beer, ice cream, and souvenir whips. Can you imagine? Get your souvenir whips here, yeah. Hot dogs, get your... Okay. VIPs and even some nuns watched from a specially elevated viewing platform. This is not what Jesus is talking about when he said, take up your cross. So, what is he talking about? What is the way of the cross? How do I carry my cross? And what is my cross? We read those passages kind of before and after those shorter ones that I had here. Talked about denying yourself. Talked about hating your mother and father. It doesn't give you permission there to, you know, get violent. But it really is saying, don't love your family above the Lord. Even hating yourself, that doesn't mean, you know, I harm myself like they were doing. I have a NIV study Bible that says this, taking up the cross, as they were hearing it, it spoke of someone condemned already. Carrying the cross to an execution of self, willing to suffer, to die to self, to be humiliated. So when they heard this, they know, well, this is for a criminal that's guilty, that's condemned to a painful death, that's very humbling and humiliating. So each gospel passage speaks of whoever saves their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will gain it. Talks about not being ashamed of Jesus Christ. Talks about hating your life. Loving Jesus more than your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, yourself. Is not saying, if I beat myself up, if I nail myself to the cross, maybe God will bring healing. Or God did something good, so I have to do this thing of pain. He did that for us. It's already done. Again, they didn't have this picture in their mind, so when they're hearing, deny yourself, take up the cross, they're thinking, execution, carrying this, humiliation. So here's how I think we should apply it this morning. Is that you and I have things that we haven't given up yet. Things that we like, we've given ourselves permission to hold on to. And many of these things are daily battles. I'm going to list some of them. Some are just poor habits. Some are sin habits. Gossip, anger, prejudices, pride, bitterness, unforgiveness, overworking, overeating, a love of sports above the love for God, a love of hunting or fishing ahead of God, a love of caribou coffee ahead of God. Not talking about your beliefs, being ashamed of the Lord. Loving your family above Jesus. When he says, take up your cross, it's specific to you. My cross is different than yours because my family's different, my neighborhood's different, my work, my context of living. You all have a different cross because of the unique place you live in. You work in a different place than I do. You go to school in a different place. You've got a different family. You've got a different neighborhood. So I want you to think about what Jesus is calling you to deny and to take up and to put to death. And remembering that it's a daily thing. And I know for me, I kind of am lazy, and I hear messages like this, and I'll think, you know, I'll do a little effort, and I'll think. I'll come up with some ideas, and then I'll go home, and other things in life will capture me, and it's pretty much gone. So I'm going to invite us to a little more intensity on this. I'm going to pass some things out. We've got a cross here that we're going to actually nail something to it. And in here I've got some pens. I've got some cardstock. I've got some rusty, dusty nails. About as old as the first part of our house before we added on. So what did we build, 97? So there's a lot of rust on them. They're basement nails. But they kind of remind me of the nails that might have been for Jesus, bigger, but kind of a smaller version of it. So what I'm going to invite you to do, again, I'm not forcing you to do this, but for me, now I'm taking a more active step. I'm writing something down. And if you've got something, I can write selfish. That's really general. Because I'm a selfish guy. I like my schedule and I like my things and I like my ways. I think they're right and the best ways. And when I'm on the road or in the store, I'm impatient. I want people in front of me to be faster. I want the cashiers to be on task and moving through. I'm selfish. So I write selfish down here. I got some really icky things I could write down here. And if I was to write a real icky thing, I would just put initial on it. Maybe I'll put I for icky. This isn't meant to be like I spy and I figure out who wrote what here. We'll put it in the church newspaper that we don't have. But it really is meant to force us to think about this and to physically do something. Where can I put this so we can kind of do a little hammering? And I don't care where you put it on the cross. We got one hammer for safety reasons. I don't want all of us hammering at once. That could get a little exciting. And then, so write something down. I want to nail it to that cross. Now, like I say, I don't care where you put it. And if you don't have anything, if you don't want to, that's fine. I'm not going to grade on a curve today. But I invite you to. Have you put some music on, Nick, while this is happening? That way I don't hear my nervous breathing. Will you stand with me? He says, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Now you're worthy to be called his disciple, is follower. It says if you don't do that, you're not worthy. You're not counted in. Am I saying you want to be on a team or you're a Jesus wannabe, a follower wannabe, but you really aren't. You could go to church, you could look the part, you can act the part, but He knows the heart. I know for me these things are a daily thing, and they hit harder on certain days than other days, depending on events and circumstances, and I have to go again of saying, Jesus, be the person you've called me to be, the husband that you've called me to be, the father, the pastor, the community member. But I think that when we carry that cross, our cross, your cross, He does something because He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So it's not like, but once I put this on and nail it and die to it, then He picks it up. Let's pray. Lord, for this group of people called River of Life Church, I think their character and their lives are fantastic. And I know I can identify my deals and my cross. And Lord, we all have things that we need to die to, that's humiliating, that when we act out on them, it's embarrassing, and we want to put them to death. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that by this action, it's a reminder. And also, Lord, I know that we can leave here today and maybe be reminded by You, Holy Spirit, you know what? There's this too and this. And Holy Spirit, You're there not to condemn us, but You do convict us. And I pray we move on that convicting. And that we embrace You and identify those areas that we're not Christ-like, that we've given ourselves permission to disobey You. Permission not to live like You. And under that conviction, we ask that as we turn to You and confess it and admit it, that You grab hold of us and give us the courage and give us the character to live out everything of our destiny You've called. And thank You for that refining in us. Thank You that we can be called Your disciple, Your follower, Your children. And help us this week, each day, to love You more than anything else. And all God's people said, amen. Have a fantastic week.